Good morning. It is 9:48 on the 26th of September, year 2020. And before we get started today, I just wanted to take a moment to remind you all of something that the Lord Jesus told us about when we pray. Now, today, in Washington, D.C., there is a Billy Graham National Prayer March going on. Now, I would like to say one thing before I get, before I get started here. The Lord tells us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, and I'm going to read, "When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, enter into your closet, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father which is in secret. And your Father which sees in secret shall reward you openly. And when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not you therefore like unto them, for your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask him." In other words, don't be like hypocrites. Don't go out and engage in public prayer marches or national days of prayer. Okay, the Lord does not give us levity to do that. He doesn't give us leave to just do as we please. Don't be like the hypocrites, brothers and sisters. Now, to the business at hand for today. Before I get started with the first main point of doctrine in the Canons of Dort, I'd also like to remember to acknowledge Victor Maxson at the Chapel Library and thank him again for the use of their book on the Canons of Dort for today's message. Now again, the Canons of Dort, the decision of the Synod of Dort on the five main points of doctrine in dispute in the Netherlands. The first main point of doctrine, divine election and reprobation. The judgment concerning divine predestination, which the Synod declares to be in agreement with the Word of God and accepted till now in the Reformed churches. And this is set forth in several articles. Article number one, God's right to condemn all people. As all men have sinned in Adam, lie under the curse, and are deserving of eternal death, God would have done no injustice by leaving them all to perish and delivering them over to condemnation on account of sin, according to the words of the apostle, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. And that's Romans chapter 3, verse 19. And also, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. And for the wages of sin is death. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Article number two, the manifestation of God's love. But in this, the love of God was manifested, that he sent his only begotten Son into the world, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have eternal life. And that's 1 John 4:9 and John 3:16. Now, before I continue on with the articles here, there is a possibility, maybe even a probability, that I will go back and actually expound on some of these articles. I haven't made that decision yet, but if it does come to pass, you'll be the first to know about it. Okay, continuing. Article number three, the preaching of the gospel. And that men may be brought to believe, God mercifully sends the messengers of these most joyful tidings to whom he will, and at what time he pleases, by whose ministry men are called to repentance and faith in Christ crucified. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through 15. Article number 4. A twofold response to the gospel. The wrath of God abides upon those who believe not this gospel, but such as receive it and embrace Jesus the Savior by a true and living faith are by him delivered from the wrath of God and from destruction, and have the gift of eternal life conferred upon them. Article number 5. The sources of unbelief and of faith. The cause or guilt of this unbelief, as well as of all other sins, is no wise in God, but in man himself. Whereas faith in Jesus Christ and salvation through him is the free gift of God, as it is written, by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. And likewise, to you it hath been granted in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, etc. And that's Philippians chapter 1, verse 29. Article number 6. God's eternal decree. That some receive the gift of faith from God, and others do not receive it, proceeds from God's eternal decree. For known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Acts chapter 15, verse 18. Who worketh all things after the counsel of his will? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. According to which decree he graciously softens the hearts of the elect, however obstinate, and inclines them to believe, while he leaves the non-elect in his just judgment to their own wickedness and obduracy. And herein is especially displayed the profound, the merciful, and at the same time the righteous discrimination between men equally involved in ruin, or that decree of election and reprobation revealed in the Word of God, which, though men of perverse, impure, and unstable minds wrest it to their own destruction, yet to holy and pious souls affords unspeakable consolation. In other words, that's a way of saying that's why grace is grace. Article number 7, election. Election is the unchangeable purpose of God, whereby, before the foundation of the world, he has, out of mere grace, according to the sovereign good pleasure of his own will, chosen from the whole human race, which had fallen through their own fault, from their primitive state of rectitude unto sin and destruction, a certain number of persons to redemption in Christ, whom he from eternity appointed the mediator and head of the elect and the foundation of salvation. This elect number, though by nature neither better nor more deserving than others, but with them involved in one common misery, God has decreed to give to Christ to be saved by him, and effectually to call and draw them to his communion by his word and spirit, to bestow upon them true faith, justification, and sanctification, and having powerfully preserved in them the fellowship of his Son, finally to glorify them for the demonstration of his mercy, and for the praise of the riches of his glorious grace, as it is written, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. As Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 through 6. And elsewhere, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Romans chapter 8, verse 30. Article number 8, a single decision of election. There are not various decrees of election, but one and the same decree respecting all those who shall be saved, both under the Old and the New Testament. Since the Scripture declares the good pleasure, purpose, and counsel of the divine will to be one, according to which he has chosen us from eternity, both to grace and to glory, to salvation and to the way of salvation, which he has ordained that we should walk therein. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 through 5, and also Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Article number 9. Election is not based on foreseen faith. This election was not founded upon foreseen faith and the obedience of faith, holiness, or any other good quality or disposition in man, as the prerequisite cause or condition on which it depended. But men are chosen to faith and to the obedience of faith, holiness, etc. Therefore, election is the fountain of every saving good, from which proceed faith, holiness, and the other gifts of salvation, and finally, eternal life itself, as its fruits and effects, according to the testimony of the apostle. He hath chosen us, not because we were, but that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Article number 10, election based on God's good pleasure. The good pleasure of God is the sole cause of this gracious election, which does not consist herein that out of all possible qualities and actions of men, that God has chosen some as a condition of salvation, but that he was pleased out of the common mass of sinners to adopt some certain persons as a peculiar people to himself, as it is written, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. And it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Romans chapter 9, verses 11 through 13. And also, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Acts chapter 13, verse 48. Article number 11. Election is unchangeable. And as God himself is most wise, unchangeable, omniscient, and omnipotent, so the election made by him can neither be interrupted nor changed, recalled or annulled. Neither can the elect be cast away, nor their number diminished. Article number 12, the assurance of election. That the elect, in due time, though in various degrees and in different measures, attain the assurance of this, their eternal and unchangeable election, not by inquisitively prying into the secret and deep things of God, but by observing in themselves with a spiritual joy and holy pleasure the infallible fruits of election pointed out in the Word of God, such as a true faith in Christ, filial fear, a godly sorrow for sin, a hungering and thirsting after righteousness, etc. Article 13, the fruit of this assurance. The sense and certainty of this election afford to the children of God additional matter for daily humiliation before him, for adoring the depth of his mercies, for cleansing themselves, and rendering grateful returns of ardent love to him, who first manifested so great love towards them. The consideration of this doctrine of election is so far from encouraging remissness in the observance of the divine commands, or from sinking men in carnal security, that these, in the just judgment of God, are the usual effects of rash presumption or of idle and wanton trifling with the grace of election in those who refuse to walk in the ways of the elect. Article number 14, teaching election properly. As the doctrine of divine election by the most wise counsel of God was declared by the prophets, by Christ himself, and by the apostles, and is clearly revealed in the scriptures, both of the Old and the New Testament, and so it is still to be published in due time and place in the Church of God, for which it was peculiarly designed, provided it be done with reverence, in the spirit of discretion and piety, for the glory of God's most holy name, and for enlivening and comforting his people, without vainly attempting to investigate the secret ways of the Most High. Acts chapter 20, verse 27, Romans chapter 11, verses 33 and 34, Romans chapter 12, verse 3, Hebrews chapter 6, verses 17 through 18. Article number 15, reprobation. What peculiarly tends to illustrate and recommend to us the eternal and unmerited grace of election is the express testimony of sacred scripture that not all, but some only, are elected, while others are passed by in the eternal decree, whom God, out of his sovereign, most just, irreprehensible, and unchangeable good pleasure, has decreed to leave in the common misery into which they have willfully plunged themselves, and not to bestow upon them saving faith and the grace of conversion, but permitting them, in his just judgment, to follow their own ways. At last, for the declaration of his justice, to condemn and punish them forever, not only on account of their unbelief, but also for all their other sins. And this is the decree of reprobation, by which no means makes God the author of sin, the very thought of which is blasphemy, but declares him to be an awful, irreprehensible, and righteous judge, and avenger thereof. Article number 16, responses to the teaching of reprobation. Those in whom a living faith in Christ, an assured confidence of soul, peace of conscience, an earnest endeavor after filial obedience, that word filial is spelled F-I-L-I-A-L, a glorifying in God through Christ, is not as yet strongly felt, and who, nevertheless, make use of the means which God has appointed for working these graces in us, ought not to be alarmed at the mention of reprobation, nor to rank themselves among the reprobate, but diligently to persevere in the use of means, and with ardent desires, devoutly and humbly, to wait for a season of richer grace, and much less cause to be terrified by the doctrine of reprobation, have they who, though they seriously desire to return to God, to please him only, and to be delivered from the body of death, cannot yet reach that measure of holiness and faith to which they aspire, since a merciful God has promised that he will not quench the smoking flax, nor break the bruised reed. But this doctrine is justly terrible to those who, regardless of God and of the Savior Jesus Christ, have completely given themselves up to the cares of the world and the pleasures of the flesh, so long as they are not seriously converted to God. Article 17, the salvation of the infants of believers. Since we are to judge of the will of God from his word, which testifies that the children of believers are holy, not by nature, but in the virtue of the covenant of grace, in which they together with parents are comprehended, godly parents ought not to doubt the election and salvation of their children, whom it pleases God to call out of this life in their infancy. Genesis chapter 17, verse 7, Acts chapter 2, verse 39, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 14. Article 18, the proper attitude toward election and reprobation. To those who murmur at the free grace of election and the just severity of reprobation, we answer with the apostle, "Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God?" Romans chapter 9, verse 20. And quote the language of our Savior, "Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with my own?" That's Matthew chapter 20, verse 15. And therefore, with holy adoration of these mysteries, we exclaim in the words of the apostle, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out! For who hath known the mind of the Lord? or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Romans chapter 11, verses 33 through 36. Okay, those are the articles. 18 of them. In that first head of doctrine. Now we come to the rejection of the errors by which the Dutch churches have for some time been disturbed. Having set forth the orthodox teaching concerning election and reprobation, the Synod rejects the errors of those, Roman numeral number 1, who teach that the will of God to save those who would believe and would persevere in faith and in the obedience of faith is the whole and entire decree of election unto salvation, and that nothing else concerning this decree has been revealed in God's word. For these deceive the simple and plainly contradict the scriptures, which declare that God will not only save those who will believe, but that he has also from eternity chosen certain particular persons, to whom, above others, he will grant, in time, both faith in Christ and perseverance. As it is written, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. John chapter 17, verse 6. And as many as were ordained to eternal life, believed, Acts chapter 13, verse 48. And also, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Roman numeral number 2. The Synod reject the error of those who teach that there are various kinds of election of God unto eternal life, that one general and indefinite, the other particular and definite, and that the latter in turn is either incomplete, revocable, non-decisive, and conditional, or complete, irrevocable, decisive, and absolute. And likewise, that there is one election unto faith and another unto salvation, so that election can be unto justifying faith without being a decisive election unto salvation. For this is a fancy of men's minds, invented regardless of the scriptures, whereby the doctrine of election is corrupted, and this golden chain of our salvation is broken. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Romans chapter 8, verse 30. Roman numeral number 3. The Synod rejects the errors of those who teach that the good pleasure and purpose of God, of which Scripture makes mention in the doctrine of election, does not consist in this, that God chose certain persons rather than others, but in this, that he chose out of all possible conditions, among which are also the works of the law, or out of the whole order of things, the act of faith, which from its very nature is undeserving, as well as its incomplete obedience as a condition of salvation, and that he would graciously consider this in itself as a complete obedience and count it worthy of the reward of eternal life. For by this injurious error, the pleasure of God and the merits of Christ are made of none effect, and men are drawn away by useless questions from the truth of gracious justification and from the simplicity of Scripture. And this declaration of the Apostle is charged as untrue. Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling? Not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And that's found in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Roman numeral number 4. The synod reject the error of those who teach that in the election unto faith, this condition is beforehand demanded that man should use his innate understanding of God aright. Be pious, humble, meek, and fit for eternal life, as if on these things election were in any way dependent. Now, for this, the savers of the teaching of Pelagius and is opposed to the doctrine of the apostle when he writes, among whom we also all once lived in the lust of our flesh, doing the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace have ye been saved, and raised us up with him, and made us to sit with him in the heavenly places, in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace have ye been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, and not of works, that no man should glory. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 3 through 9. Roman numeral number 5. The synod rejects the errors of those who teach that the incomplete and non-decisive election of particular persons to salvation occurred because of a foreseen faith, or a conversion, or holiness, or godliness, which either began or continued for some time, but that the complete and decisive election occurred because of foreseen perseverance unto the end in faith, conversion, holiness, and godliness, and that this is the gracious and evangelical worthiness, for the sake of which he who is chosen is more worthy than he who is not chosen. And that therefore faith, the obedience of faith, holiness, godliness, and perseverance are not fruits of the unchangeable election unto glory, but are conditions which, being required beforehand, were foreseen as being met by those who will be fully elected, and are causes without which the unchangeable election to glory does not occur. Now, to those who teach this, this is repugnant to the entire Scripture, which constantly inculcates this and similar declarations, that election is not of works, but of him that calleth. Romans chapter 9, verse 11. And as many as were ordained to eternal life, believed. Acts chapter 13, verse 48. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Ye did not choose me, but I chose you. John chapter 15, verse 16. But if it is by grace, it is no more of works. Romans chapter 11, verse 6. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. Roman numeral number 6. The synod rejects the error of those who teach that not every election unto salvation is unchangeable, but that some of the elect, any decree of God notwithstanding, can yet perish, and do indeed perish. Now, by this gross error, they make God to be changeable, and destroy the comfort which the godly obtain out of the firmness of their election. And they also contradict the Holy Scripture, which teaches that the elect cannot be led astray. Matthew chapter 24, verse 24. And that Christ does not lose those whom the Father gave him. John chapter 6, verse 39. And that God also glorified those whom he foreordained, called, and justified. Romans chapter 8, verse 30. Roman numeral number 7. The synod rejects the errors of those who teach that there is in this life no fruit and no consciousness of the unchangeable election to glory, nor any certainty except that which depends on a changeable and uncertain condition. Now, not only is it absurd to speak of an uncertain certainty, but also contrary to the experience of the saints, who by virtue of the consciousness of their election, rejoice with the apostle, and praise this favor of God, Ephesians chapter 1, who, according to Christ's admonition, rejoice with his disciples, that their names are written in heaven. That's Luke chapter 10, verse 20. Who also place the consciousness of their election over against the fiery darts of the devil, asking, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Romans chapter 8, verse 33. In other words, they're saying that the elect know their elect. They already know. Okay? And again, I may actually get into all of this at some point. For those of you who are having difficulty understanding it, just let me know and I'll put something together. Okay? Continuing. Roman numeral number 8. The synod reject the errors of those who teach that God, simply by virtue of his righteous will, did not decide either to leave anyone in the fall of Adam and in the common state of sin and condemnation, or to pass anyone by in the communication of grace, which is necessary for faith and conversion. Well, for this is firmly decreed, he has mercy on whom he will, and whom he will, he hardens. Romans chapter 9, verse 18. And also this, unto you, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Matthew chapter 13, verse 11. Likewise, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. And even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 through 26. Roman numeral number 9. The synod reject the errors of those who teach that the reason why God sends the gospel to one people rather than to another is not merely the sole and solely the good pleasure of God, but rather the fact that one people is better and worthier than another, to which the gospel is not communicated. Now for this, Moses denies, addressing the people of Israel as follows. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's, thy God. The earth also, with all that herein is. Only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this day. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 14 through 15. And Christ said, woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Matthew chapter 11, verse 21. Okay, this is the end of the first main point of doctrine. May the Lord Jesus Christ bless and preserve all of you who have come, who have been drawn here to listen to this teaching on the canons of Dort. This is your narrator, Brother Duane Lynn, signing off.